You're listening to Podcast on Fire. It's Asian cinema in a podcast with your hosts, the magnificent trio of Stu, Ken, and Mike.
Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire 86. I'm your host, Stuart Sutherland, and joining me this evening, we've got Ken.
Hello!
So, getting right down to the brass tacks, our contact information nowadays, well, come to think of it, no one emails nowadays. Like, you could easily find us on Facebook and Twitter. For Facebook, we've not got one of those direct addresses yet. It's just a case of searching for Podcast on Fire and leave a message on our wall. And both me and Ken's on there all the time, so definite replies. Also, the community could get in there as well. And for Twitter, it's Podcast on Fire. Twitter.com/podcastonfire, or if you want to leave us a message, at Podcast on Fire. Any other updates? Well, the website, if you've not been on there recently, is drastically different. Really different.
It's fiery now.
Mm-hmm. It looks warm, like the opposite of my house. But yeah.
So he did the website layout out of a sorrow. It's not warm.
This the website like a fireplace. Is.
Yeah. Maybe if I put my hands really close to the computer screen.
It's like that thing in life where you make your dinner and then stand beside the oven for a minute or two just to take in the heat. Get the feeling back in your toes. But anyway, winter's over and the show is on. So the website is looking drastically different. If you've not seen it yet, podcastonfire.com, and I suggest you look at the page tabs at the very top of the page, which directs you to all the different shows we've got on our network. Podcast on Fire, Japan on Fire, and of course the Korean Cinema podcast we plan on launching very soon. And upon each page is just like some new artwork I've been putting up. Majority of everything on the site is a work in progress, but I am constantly adding new images to the page.
And a sweet banner or pictorial montage of famous Hong Kong stars, including Charlie Cho, got in there. Mm-hmm. Which he should. He should be in there. lubing something up or something like that.
He had to have a sleazy face on.
Yeah. When does he not? You know, I always like Charlie when he has that, you know, his very content smile about himself.
Aye.
pre-fucking, you know. When is he the club? Or rather the, not the club as, you know, he doesn't go clubbing, he goes whoring, obviously, and he goes to one of those hostess clubs that all men in suits with glasses go to in Hong Kong movies. Check out Girls of Tomorrow or Without Tomorrow, or any hostess flick for a glimpse of that, then Charlie Cho. Mm-hmm.
So, show updates, we're still in the middle of planning our fourth installment to the vampire season we're doing. Our fourth episode will cover Magic Cop, Vampire versus Vampire, and Mr. Vampire 1992.
Yes.
So, we've got that coming up in the next few weeks.
It's gonna be fun, even though we're looking at the 1992 is not the best Mr. Vampire movie, but we're looking at some damn other great classics from Lam Ching Ying.
Exactly.
Magic Cop Vampire vs. Vampire is premium fodder. So, hopefully, I'm very pleased, and thanks for all the feedback on the show. I'm very pleased that we're making an impact, turning some people onto the genre for the first time, or maybe reawakening a love for the genre of via our podcast. So I'm very glad to hear that, because we greatly enjoy rewatching and revisiting these movies ourselves.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Has it been a long time since you watched any of those movies we were going to cover? I reckon Mr. Vampire 1992 doesn't get frequent spin.
I think that was on a banned list last year, but
really,
it has been a little while since I've sat down with Vampire versus Vampire.
Yeah. Directed by Lam Ching Ying, nonetheless.
Exactly. I think that's the point when you realise, like, he isn't tired of playing the same role.
Not in 89, when that was made. Definitely not.
Aye. So, let's run right into it. Ken, have you got any last movies watched for us?
Yeah, maybe not last movies watched, but I always go back to what I watched and want to check what I, in particular, what I want to talk about on the show. And I found Dragon Tamers by John Woo for the sole reason that I talked about Young Dragons the last movies watched podcast we did. And that was his first like Bashir martial arts movie, and the Dragon Tamers is his second. But also want to talk about it based on the fact that John Woo has been a topic of conversation on the forums lately, although it's been more of his action movies, his gunplay movies, and different opinions of those, which is always healthy. But not a lot of people know about the Dragon Tamers and the Young Dragons, and anything pre-Last Hurrah for Chivalry is kind of obscure. The Hand of Death is a bit more known because it does have Jackie and Sammo in acting parts. So, and the Hand of Death and Last Hurrah for Chivalry were put out by, I don't know if both were put out by Hong Kong Legends, but Hand of Death by Hong Kong Legends and Last Hurrah for Chivalry by Dragon Dynasty, and at least the US, but I don't think...
The UK as well. I did get the Hong Kong Legend.
Oh, so it was now on a Dragon Dynasty UK DVD, Last Hurrah for Chivalry. It was still Hong Kong Legends at that point?
I think Dragon Dynasty got their own print of it. They didn't copy the Hong Kong Legend, but
right.
That did come in, well, towards the end.
Right, exactly. When they were just doing the basic release.
Film and nothing else.
Yeah, which is not always a bad thing. I like that they put out some, you know, The Hand of Death is not talked of despite Jackie and Sammo. But The Dragon Tamers stars Carter Wong and James Tien, and a movie that wasn't an independent one picked up by Golden Harvest, like in the case of Young Dragons. This was made at Golden Harvest but shot in Korea. And it promotes in the very amusing trailer quite heavily the female acting and fighting talent, mostly from Japan. But only one like really makes an impact. It's this actress called Inya Ryoko, who is credited as Sexy Bad Girl, according to the trailer. And she's actually one of the end fight opponents. And also, the opening credits feature some rather unwarranted dips into exploitation, which comes in the form of female mud wrestling with breasts exposed and in slow motion, and a bathhouse scene later on in the film. But I have a feeling someone else was having a vision besides John's vision. Mm-hmm. Because slow motion, yeah, that's John, and imitated and perfected via his work with Chang-Chi. But I don't think John was very like, I wanna see some mud wrestling, bitch.
If anything, he wanted to add some white doves to the shots.
Yeah, but producer said, but it feels like that anyway, and but who knows? But it's a better movie than Young Dragons. It's a bit more, it's a goofy for like one half, but gets a bit more serious in the second half, and you realize he's still quite on his way on refining all of that he picked up on Chang-Chi, you know, the brotherhood and the loyalty and all of those themes, you know, the male bonding and all of that. So the basic plot is Carter Wong comes to Korea to learn Taekwondo, and he learns this from his master called Pai, which is played by a cool-ass actor called Lee Tai-yip. He's a very cool, laid-back master. And his goal after learning Taekwondo is to square off against Hapkido Master Sheng, which is this real-life Hapkido instructor, Ji Han Yai, who is in Game of Death. He's one of the opponents of Bruce's. I think it's at least the second one, because Dan Inosanto is the first. And this Hapkido instructor comes either second or third, and has probably a lot, his fight scene is probably a lot longer in the discovered Game of Death footage. But he also, along the way to like squaring off and taking revenge of some sort, he makes friends with James Chen's character, who is in the opposite school, whose master is this Master Sheng that Carter Wong wants to square off against. So this complicates the friendship, and Carter Wong also falls in love with the daughter of Sheng. So now, like, very complicated, but they have to unite because rival schools and martial arts associations are trying to become number one in Korea, and they do that by murderous means. So this goofy, like, you know, Japan flavor with all the nudity and girls fighting, you know, cat fights, essentially. It's the female students out of the schools. It gets abandoned for this more serious style. So I think it's very evident that someone else was directing alongside Wu, or it was forced upon him to, like, put in some commercial elements and shit like that. But it doesn't matter, because I really like it. And especially the harsh Korean landscape. It's a cold but not snow-filled Korean landscape. It's really refreshing, I think, because it adds to the grit, because this is more of a basher and not a, you know, smooth, fluid, balletic martial arts movie. So after this clunky start with the nudity, John Woo's own script, he wrote it, It Comes to Life, and he and action director Chan Chun, it's not a name anyone knows, but probably many know his face when they see him. Ah, that guy I've seen in whatever, but I've seen him. And they did like several very good, like gritty training fight sessions, and eventually like bloody fights as well, gory fights. And it's really like furious pace to the action directing, which is not noticeably sped up. And the arm and leg combat really, for once, looks really cool and gritty. In these 70s movies, you can see some very boring examples of arm and leg combat. For instance, basically, the first fight in The Big Boss with James Chen, where Bruce doesn't fight, you know, James Chen's entrance in The Big Boss, has one of these fights that is not really exciting as such. So it depended really on the action director and the vision present, I guess. The Big Boss action obviously came to life as Bruce Lee's character came to life in The Big Boss. So you kind of forgot, though, that the boring action. But it's a recommended movie. Unfortunately, not very available with Dragon Tamers, because it's currently... It might have been released in Japan, but it's actually also released in France, remastered. It's actually a double edition of the Young Dragons and the Dragon Tamers remastered from Fortune Star, but no Hong Kong DVD as of yet, maybe a VCD, but who knows if that is even uncut. As you might remember, the Young Dragons was a case of the VCD being heavily cut, and the Hong Kong DVD and the French DVD reinstating a lot of fight footage. And I saw firsthand what effect that had when it was reinstated. It became a whole lot better, you know. But it's not run-of-the-mill, and really, really cool, entertaining, a bit shamefully, you know, exploitation-like, but I don't mind. But it's fun to notice that that there's a producer somewhere in the background working John Woo as a puppet, if you will. But it's good fun, and James Chen in particular, I gotta single out, he looks really good under this action directing. He stands out amongst Carter and between those two. James Chen really looks good, and responds to that fury that needs to be on screen. Because I never saw James Chen as a really a compelling fighter on screen, but he had a good presence and could work depending on the movie. But I don't think I've seen him look as good in the fighting department as in the Dragon Tamers. So hopefully a Joy Says DVD will come out fairly soon so people can see it, because it doesn't matter if it's remastered or just semi-remastered as these Joy Sales Legendary DVDs, Legendary Collection DVDs are. It's just very watchable for a cheap price, only like a few quid or two.
Not bad. So, when the notable films I've watched recently was the 2004 Korean movie Arahan.
That I always confuse with Jeremy Irons' movie Aragon.
Very different movies.
Crappier, probably. The Jeremy Irons movie? Or John Malkovich, maybe. I don't know.
I know they're based on a series of children's books, but that's all.
That's good, Stu. Good. You should know that. It's good that you know that. By hand, of course. You didn't look that up just now. You know that.
No.
That's shit in your brain, sir.
You know I'm a librarian by trade.
Absolutely.
Arahan is one of many movies from the duo of Korean brothers, Ryu Sung-wan and Ryu Sung-byung, both who have made some terrific movies coming out of Korea. Of course, it all started off with No Bloods, No Tears, Crying Fist, which had Ryu Sung Bom and Choi Min Sik going head to head, the boxing movie.
Ah, so he did fighting Choi Min Sik? Or it was more boxing?
It was boxing, aye.
Right.
And most recently, well, most notably would be The City of Violence.
Mm.
And this is their effort from 2004, where we get to see the likes of Ryu Sung-byeom play Sung-hwan, a traffic cop who who is caught pursuing a bag thief, comes across a girl called Yoo-jin, who accidentally hits him with a palm blast and knocks him off his feet. Ah. It turns out the power of this girl is she's a student of martial arts taught by her father and a group of Tai Chi masters. Sung-hwan becomes obsessed with learning the palm blast technique, and eventually they convince the teachers to take him on as a student. And at the same time, an old master returns to the city and seeks revenge on the group of masters and claims that they have the key which will give him unstoppable powers.
I've got to ask you, is it obvious to think that this is a period movie?
No, it's modern day.
It is. So I thought, I'm going to go into that trap because you're talking about palm blasts and ultimate power and shit like that. But it
does have sort of flashback scenes where they're all in the robes, but it's now in modern day, where I think the movie actually opens, where it's got the masters sitting around the coffee table talking, and they're all sitting there with their mobile phones and track suits and they're talking about they're not making much money nowadays, and one of the masters, an elderly woman, also works on a hotline, a telephone line, making money on the side just to meet ends.
One of those hotlines, or just...
I think it was, aye. I think they were shaming her, but she told them, it's good money, shut up. So it is, the movie comes off as this great comedy, regardless of the action. It's just really positive that the action's amazing as well. It is a great mixture of really smooth wire work with just full pelt, just some hard contact action. Fast, real, fast kicks, constant kicks. There's any breathing space. It is pretty much fast and furious. I was trying to avoid that metaphor, but... yeah.
That's the style, kind of Fast and Furious, and hard hitting and painful action. Has that been the style
Definitely.
Throughout these movies? Okay.
I think as they've pretty much keyed it in Korea, they're the guys to go to if you're wanting this really hard ass action.
Yeah.
And I give it a deuce. It's your typical Korean film where it peaks over the 2 hour mark, and the final fight is almost half an hour long.
Fuck me.
But it goes from stages and develops, because it's most things, you can't beat the bad guy in the first round, so you've got to go to the second, the third, the fourth, and every round is basically different, and they use different ways to use the environment, and of course it's got all this Tai Chi power into it, so it does come up with the blasts, it suspends disbelief, you could let it go a little bit further. Where the point
Hadouken!
Our lead character is surfing about on a panel of wood.
Ah, sweet.
But it's cool. It looks so much as a skateboard without the wheels. it's done really well.
Could you sense at all that it's a sort of a wink at the eye to Hong Kong movies in the same vein? Sue Warren's kind of?
Maybe not a lot of that scene, but me and my friend had actually seen a lot of similarities to Kung Fu Hustle, which I think was done later, and Shaolin Soccer. There's a lot of the music beats and the thought of just sort of reintroducing Tai Chi into society.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that kind of peaked, brought up reminders of Shaolin Soccer and the thought of Sung-hwan, the character is actually... the Tai Chi masters heal him, and they discover that he's actually got this really great chi. He's the one. So this is bringing up your Matrix references, your
sure.
Kung Fu Hustle reference, well, more in the later half of it, but yeah. Is, and it does have, like, the sparkling romantic comedy side where the guy is just, like, falling for the girl, and it's got, that's all your romantic comedy in it there, but it works surprisingly well. It's one of these films I'm pretty sure Mike Banner recommended to us time and time again, and it just sat there on my rental list, and eventually I got it, and it was a good surprise.
How do you rate it against the team's other movies?
I would rate it above No Blood, No Tears. And I could see it being better than City of Violence, but City of Violence works is more serious. There's no comedy to that, mm-hmm. and it's more violent.
Yeah.
So they're good, and Crying Fist is a boxing movie, so I was like, I can't compare them.
Right, what I did.
They're all very different movies.
Yeah. You still enjoy
all very good movies.
Sorry, all.
And all very good movies.
Cool. I like the sound of this, but I've only heard the title, never looked into it at all, because you can't keep your radar on for everything. But I'm sure it will be. It won't go rare anytime soon. So,
aye.
I made a note of it. Both the Ryus in the movies, or Kingsley, or it's only one of them on screen and the other directing?
No, it's how you'd expect it to be. We've got the younger brother, Ryu Sung-bom, who's the lead, and the director, Ryu Sung-wan, is actually the main bad guy.
Right, okay.
So it is brother v brother.
Yeah.
Knocking the shit out of each other at the end.
Maybe an extension of their childhood, who knows? And we can make money doing it! Has this gotten like an international distribution on DVD and stuff like that?
I got it through the UK release from Optimum Asia. I'm not sure if it's breached America yet.
Mm.
But it was readily available over here. It's one of these titles that you don't see often in store, but it's always available online to rent.
Sure.
So I would highly recommend everyone renting it just to not miss out.
Yeah. Very cool. Mm-hmm.
So, Ken, I'm going to pass the ball back to you. Got any other movies for us to talk about?
Yeah, finally, I rewatched License to Steal, the Billy Chan movie produced by Sammo Hung. I watched it eons ago, and I didn't really connect to it back then. It was even before I started writing, I think, anyway. At least before I started writing these little quick reviews that are on my site as well. So, but I heard so many good stuff about it, and at that time I didn't connect to it. But I'm kind of weird that way. Even exploitation movies I disliked in 2001, I like now. So it's kind of, it changed your sensibilities in a way. Which is, part of your development. You start to like certain genre movies more as the years go by, for instance. Exploitation is one such example. License to Steal I perhaps like more now that I know of a lot more of the people in it and have a greater respect for the director, Billy Chan. But Billy Chan is really a greatly underrated director for this, which is an action comedy, License to Steal, very pleasant. And for Crazy Safari, which is Mr. Vampire meets the Gods Must Be Crazy. Great fun, set in Africa as well. And also like the brutal Danny Lee thriller, cop thriller, No Compromise, with Pauline Wong, Mr. Vampire 1, Pauline Wong. It's really, really cool and brutal and shows a versatility. I think Dodo Cheng is in it as well, but no comedy whatsoever. Just violent. And I really dig it. So Billy Chan has some chops. As for License to Steal, the plot in a nutshell is this family of thieves, which one of the daughters is the character of Hung, played by Joyce Kudenci, Sam Hung's real-life wife. Mm-hmm. And she that this family of thieves gets to experience betrayal as one of the daughters, which is the character of Nan, played by Agnes Aurelio, which is the muscle woman from She Shoots Straight, who fights Joyce Kudenci in this scrapyard or something like that. Filipino actress, possibly. But she betrays the family because she wishes to break free and earn money herself. So during the last heist for Joyce Godensis Hung, she is left behind by the other daughter, Nan, and gets sentenced to prison. And when she is released, she is greeted by an inspector, played by Richard M, in a very amusing role. He has a follower, a rookie cop, played by Anaisi, a.k.a. Colin Chow. And into the mix comes a modern-day swordsman wannabe, which is played by Yun Bu. And it's fun. I watched Dragons Forever recently for the first time. Yes, I watched it for the first time.
First?
Yeah. I haven't even seen it a second time, but I loved Yun Bu in it because he was a downright nutter.
Yes.
And he plays nutter very well. And in License to Steal, it's kind of an extension of that because he acts like he's in a swordplay movie. He does the hand greeting where he puts his hand together and all of that and speaks in a way, you know, he wants to be a swordsman, but not in modern day. So he enters the fray as well, and all while, you know, the serious Hung, Joyce Godensis Hung, watches these mad characters, she plots her payback by cooperating with police. And the main joy of Billy Chan's breezy action comedy, because that's what it is, it's not even very violent, is seeing such distinctly different characters interacting with each other is quite a joy. But it's nothing new or original for Hong Kong cinema to throw everything in there and everyone, you know. But the star power here, in a way, Richard playing this inspector with his trench coat. I think he has a pipe. Looks a bit like Sherlock Holmes, and he's amusing enough. And Nai Sing is a little bit goofy as a rookie cop, not a big character role as such. And then you have Yun Bu as this like nutter on his bicycle, you know, wanting to be a swordsman. Yun Bu and Richard M actually, Richard M is Yun Bu's uncle in the film, so they have some amusing banter back and forth. And it's talent thrown in there for comedic and awesome physical purposes, because Yun Bu is, you know, is acrobatic as hell as always, and incredibly enjoyable as a comedic presence. And Nai Sing gets to let loose against the likes of Billy Chow, and it has a lot of highlights, including, you know, I'm not going to mention all, and it's easy entertainment. But with, you know, a solid producing stamp by Sammo Hung and fine focus by the director, Billy Chan. So unusually tolerable Hong Kong cinema, despite it being quite different in tone at times. But again, not violent. And the License to Steal, a rare one, not on DVD. Can barely find it on VCD. I was fortunate enough to download a Laserdisc copy of the film, which is therefore the Ultimate Edition currently. The best quality version, which is also a shame, but that's how it is. You're not going to see at best you'll see a French remaster of it. That's probably it. Or Japan might have some nutty thought of bringing this out, but in Hong Kong it's not with Fortune Star, so maybe it's in the Warner Brothers vaults. We know how fast that's going to be on DVD, because it is after all Sam Hong's production company, so maybe that was part of the plethora of movies they bought, including Pedicab Driver and even Enter the Fat Dragon. So even from the different eras, many Sam Hong movies got bought. Hong Kong cinema in a nutshell. So you're kind of lucky to have seen and be able to see some movies. What else is up to?
Well, actually, just before watching the show, I did get the chance to rewatch The Karate Kid.
Which
one? The 2010 with Jackie Chan and, I was just going to say Jace Chan, but it's no, Jaden Smith. And I was pretty much just running in the background, and I just only really wanted to pay attention to the the Blu-ray of this is because of the alternative ending.
Mm-hmm.
And for those I haven't
seen it either, so don't spoil it for me even.
Oh, it's not a big spoiler, but the alternative ending. Well, actually, it's a scene, an altercation that stops, like where Yurong Wong plays the role of the rival kung fu teacher,
mm-hmm.
and he goes to strike a student, and Jackie grabs the hand and stops, and he has like, you can see Yurong Wong has a deep thought, and then like obviously doesn't strike the student, whereas and it's left at that. But on this alternative ending, it cuts right into a spar between Jackie and Yurong Wong.
Oh.
Like, they start trading blows, then Jackie starts throwing benches, like the small horse belt, a more modern equivalent of the horse bench, and basically does his Jackie Chan magic and eventually pins a bench down on top of Yurong Guang.
Wow.
You think the altercation's all over, but Yurong Guang kicks the stool into his back, the fight starts again, Jackie like falls through a tight space, ducks some falling objects, start fighting on the stage, a flip off the stage, and it's like an awesome 3 minutes, but the reason it's probably cut is because, like, where the hell did this come from?
Yeah.
You know they have, like, a history, like, the cold glares, they don't like each other, but for the fact that you're just waiting for the final fight to happen, then a big fight between the two teachers comes out of nowhere, and they start doing flips off the stage, and big kicks, and pin down, fight.
Yeah.
Like, Hank, it'd probably most likely just ruin the pace.
Yeah, and seem out of place that you just said. I mean, it seems like I've got an impression that Jackie doesn't do any fighting in Karate Kid. Am I right in saying?
There's one fight in the beginning where it's not really a fight. It's basically he's defending himself against some of the students that were chasing Jaden.
Yeah, it's the stuff you see in the trailers. Yeah, exactly. It's that one.
It's pretty much just that.
Yeah,
and that's it. He's just in there to be like the Sifu show. And teach the moves.
Yeah.
But it's like he did get the chance to bust his chops in this alternative ending. So I reckon if it's like the common Jackie thing where he thinks action's needed and they film it and then they just don't put it in the movie.
Mm.
But it is a nice wee extra. There's probably no doubt that it's on YouTube.
Sure.
Because it is not even 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
But it's just a cool wee fight.
And after that, the final fight happens between Jaden and whoever he's fighting.
Aye, and his opponent, yep. So,
just like that, them standing around, like, okay.
Could we Hello? Fight now?
Hello? Maybe the Smiths demanded it to be cut. Who knows? We won't stand for this!
Mm-hmm. Martial arts in a movie? What? No. I won't even warrant a Will Smith impression. I'm just not even going to try it. But, yeah, I've basically just been catching up with some new rentals. I'm slowly trudging through the Full Metal Alchemist anime, which is still fun.
Yeah. Long?
I'm on disc 3, which is like the 9th episode, and I think I've been watching it over 2 years now. That's what happens when you're renting them.
Yeah.
So, it's just, out of anything, it's like, they always have the catchiest theme tunes, like, yes, I quite like Japanese kid children's music thingy.
Did you ever rent the Ghost in the Shell TV series that they put out in the UK as well?
Not, that's just, that, like, juggernaut scares me.
Yeah.
So fucking much, like, anything that's stopping, it's just constantly, it's like, how much material do they have?
Yeah, I only saw first season, I think. But I followed up after that.
I saw like the first movie and then felt tired by seeing the second movie.
Second movie, shit.
And I was like, okay. And I said, wait, now they're constantly releasing TV? What else could there be?
Oh, God, I was so annoyed at the second movie. I love the first one. I think it's challenging as fuck, but the second movie, God, it thought it was so clever by being so talky. God! Damn, what a boring movie.
I really thought I was like going back in time, but it's just, no, they're just repeating some scenes like over again. They're like, wait, what? And this was me like trying to stay awake, falling asleep on the bed, trying to watch this movie. And said, wait, that before he went into that building, what's going on?
Yeah,
why is the dialogue the same?
Yeah. The TV series is all right. Nothing I was blown away by, but it was good. And it had a kick-ass theme tune as well. That's why I even mentioned it. Not a kiddie theme tune, but a really cool techno choir kind of track, which is great fun.
One of the other... I've actually just gotten a hold of the Johnny Toll movie Vengeance on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to revisiting that movie. Of course, the first chance I got to see it was at the Terracotta Film Festival.
Yeah.
So I'm actually quite looking forward to revisiting it.
Yeah, it's been a good 10 months or so. So.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be all nice and shiny, and blue.
As everything is.
Mm-hmm. And right enough, my copy of The Mad Detective came through on Blu-ray today.
Mm-hmm.
That's the UK Blu-ray from Masters of Cinema.
Ah, sweet.
This is their second... No, the second... Like, they do the terrible thing where they've numbered the boxes, where you feel obliged to buy every single number. Like, that's where Studio Ghibli got me. I tried to resist, but I feel unease until I have, like 1 to 15 in my collection, but...
Damn you, Miyazaki!
How dare you number your fucking films?
How dare you do that to those movies I enjoy so much?
Mm-hmm. I will happily accept more.
You're releasing
on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Okay. Aye, man.
Did you and I ever talk about what's the latest one? Ponyo?
No, I actually left that.
No, you talked about it with the cinema.
I talked about it as one of my highlights of the year, but did I never mention it as the last movie I watched?
No, I was just curious. I obviously know that you liked it, but I was just to myself. You and I usually speak about Ghibli, but you enjoyed it, yeah?
Oh, yeah, that was a great film.
Yeah. You watched it dubbed or in Japanese?
Dubbed, aye. Yeah. I've rarely watched them in Japanese. I think there was a time where me and Margaret went to Edinburgh and saw Spirited Away, and we went into it not knowing whether it's going to be Japanese or not, and I think it was in Japanese, and no difference still.
Yeah, I mean, really, Ponyo is not even I don't know if it's said to be set in Japan, but obviously it's another, like, Kiki's Delivery Service, one of those coastal towns. And definitely not Japanese in tone. So, but my rental here only had Swedish and Japanese, and not a Swedish dub. they don't put the effort into it nowadays. They did once upon a time with we have all fondness for the old Disney flicks like The Jungle Book and Robin Hood. They have class dubs because they put fucking effort into them. But nowadays, it's like the same 3-4 people dubbing the movies, including like the Studio Ghibli stuff. So, but Howl's Moving Castle, great in English. It's set in England, for fuck's sake, I think. Whereas English, like posh characters.
It looks Europe-y.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, they always instill in fantasy as well, so it could be a completely different universe, but it just doesn't look like Japan.
And Kiki's Delivery Service even had, like, Swedish influence. You know, they went to coastal towns in Sweden, I read, so it's set in an unnamed kind of thing. I like Ponyo. I'm more of a fan of House Movie Castle, but it was good fun. As always, I'm blown away at all times that they can maintain the fact that this movie could have been animated 1985 or 1995 or 2005, because the style is so old school, it's uncanny.
Aye.
And I hope it's either that they're very good with computers, or they still animate it old school and Miyazaki has a way of like steering this boat to give it that impression, you know, that this is traditional animation and our movies are going to be timeless.
And the thing is, they do have like this great replay value as well. Like, it's just I don't really tire of their movies. There's always going to be a time where I want to like put on The Cat's Return, or if I really want to sit and indulge, I could sit and watch
Grave of the Fireflies.
Oh.
If I really wanted to indulge in suicidal behaviour, that would be
if I felt a little too happy, I might just knock myself down a notch, but no.
Whoa, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
And I'm a total sap. I'm a big fan of Laputa Castle in the Sky.
Yeah.
Like how I sat and slavered over that Japanese Blu-ray. Because I probably don't have any, just stay away. Don't talk about it. The less said about that Blu-ray, the better. Aye. So, that's really all I have to talk about on my end. Ken?
Yes.
Anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
Why not a little bit of plugging, because I don't do it regularly, and people might forget what I'm up to. But even if they haven't forgotten, I'm still going to mention my two main sites and a few other things. SoGoodReviews.com, I guess your number one home for my kind of category free reviews. But I always compare myself to Jerry King, who writes his Bullets Over Chinatown blog, because he has a more sense of humor about the category free movies he reviews. So I always recommend Jared's blog that we'll link to in the podcast post. And I also have the video review site, which is Lacey K Video. And you'll find the previously banned YouTube reviews on there, and all new reviews is on that site. Linked to from SoGoodReviews.com, so you can always reach it. And I'm on Twitter, twitter.com/SoGoodReviews. And on Facebook as well. Just look up So Good Reviews and check out what I'm up to and all that. It's good fun, and I have a lot of sleaze in the pile. But I'm gonna time one thing. For once, I'm gonna plan one thing. I think March or February, I'm not sure, is the release of Sex and Seven 3D Extreme Ecstasy. And I have on my pile of Sex and Seven, which I have never seen. The first one. And I thought, why not time a review of the first Sex and Sand to round about the release date of Sex and Sand 3D? Which is going to be awesome, by the way. They really, pushed the 3D as the novelty it is. You know, things just, getting flung at you for no apparent reason. And it's gonna be cool. They're so proud of themselves that they got press. If you see the beginning of the Sex and Sand 3D trailer, they show multiple foreign press articles of the attention, first porno in 3D and all of that. And I saw a clip on a Swedish site. It was a international clip. With interviews from the set in English, and the producer was interviewed in a cave set with a cock fountain in the background, I think. It was give me now. That's gonna be awesome. So if it's one Hong Kong movie I look forward to this year, it's Sex and Sand 3D. And I probably don't get to see it in 3D, but I don't care. I'm going to watch it regardless. It's not going to come to Swedish cinema or UK cinemas anytime soon.
Aye, exactly.
Festivals, maybe, but that's about it. Good fun. Have you seen any of the Sex and Sand movies?
I've not, no.
Not even the UK one, where Lol and Loletta Lee?
Nope.
UK has a penis in that one, I believe.
Nah, you're still not convincing me. On my end, let's see, we're actually a quick plug for next week. You could join me, Ken, Martin Cleary from New Korean Cinema, and Rufus from V Cinema for our first episode of What's Korean Cinema, where we will be discussing My Sassy Girl.
Excellent, I haven't seen that. How long is that?
The film, well...
120, at least, of course.
At least, yeah. Definitely.
Are we going to see the director's cut or the regular cut? Do we know that? I'm putting you on the spot, sir.
I'm not. I'm being heavily distracted in the background, and I've noticed that. Desk. So, yes.
I'm throwing away your Blu-rays!
I think we only have the director's cut, which I'm pretty sure is a bootleg, but...
So we don't have the limited egg edition, then?
We do not have the limited edition egg.
Ah.
I think only Adam Terrell's got that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's kept it nested. So...
Does that make sense, by the way, to have it as an egg limited edition, or that's just a silly joke?
No, there is an, like I said, egg in the movie.
Ooh.
So, yep, join us. We will be planning on recording that next week, so hopefully it'll work. So I've been your host for this evening. I'm Stuart Sutherland.
Kenneth Boson.
Catch us next time.
In 3D.
Who the says you can fucking talk in the background? This is the last time you get sent in the living room during this fucking show. You.
Just checking if Blu-rays are flushable.
Knock the mug of tea over. Come on then, fist fight. Put your baffies back on. That's no nice. But, aye, Ken, I'm going to have to sort...
you definitely have to sort shit out, sir.
Aye.
Can't save me, I don't want to get married.